Welcome back to Toby Talk. I am your host, Dom. And before we get started, of course, we have a few quick announcements and reminders.
For our Southern California Orange County members, join us for our Grit Cycle Karma Ride to support Lion's Heart in Ladera Ranch, California, and nationwide. It will be held on September 22nd at 12:30 p.m., so get your bikes now and come ride with us. You can follow the link in our Instagram bio to sign up. We hope to see you there.
The Lion's Heart Volunteerism Writing Contest officially ended August 8th. Thank you for all the amazing submissions we received and reviewed. The winners of our contest are Caroline S., Catherine W., and Tanya D. Thank you so much for everyone else who participated, and congratulations for the winners. We look forward to sharing your stories.
Shout out to Franklin, Massachusetts 2023 Girls Blue for hosting a beach cleanup and saving ocean life, one volunteer at a time. Also, shout out to Scripps Ranch, California 2023 Boys Blue Group for volunteering to help out a local football summer camp. Keep up all the good work, everyone.
And please don't forget to follow us on social media. Our Instagram and Facebook is at Lion's Heart Service. And for all of our Lion's Heart members, make sure to share your volunteer experiences through Instagram or the Share Your Story page on our website so that we can see your amazing efforts and post it on our social media pages.
And if you haven't already, subscribe to the Toby Talk podcast on your favorite platform. You can visit our Anchor FM page for all the available platforms, like Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Or just follow the link in our Instagram bio.
Wonderful. Thanks, guys. Well, this week we have a double feature of interviews with Lion's Heart interns Audrey and Mandy. Audrey discusses her recent blog post with tips about back to school and volunteering. And Mandy discusses her disaster preparedness toolkit that is now available for all Lion's Heart teens in the member portal. So let's get to those with Mandy and Audrey. Okay, I'm here with Audrey for Audrey's 10 tips for back to school, volunteering, and an overall great school year. So Audrey pulled these from two of your blog posts, one's already on our current blog, and one that'll be going out next week. So let's get started.
All right, cool. So the prospect of a new school year may seem very frightening for a lot of us, especially freshmen. But in reality, there's nothing to be afraid of. I've been in high school for 3 years now. This is my fourth year, so I can assure you. Yeah, I'm a senior, so I can assure you that everything's going to be fine. And school is ultimately what you make of it. So here are some tips that will help you make the best off this year.
All right, number one.
Number one, so surround yourself with supportive and positive influences. Who you are friends with greatly affects your success in school. People who are motivated and hardworking will cause you to behave similarly. School can be extremely stressful, and it's important to have a support group who loves you and will help you through the hard times for your mental, emotional health. And I can actually attest to this myself. Like, really, the group of friends you hang out with will help you with your success.
Yeah, like even over the summer, you and Mandy hang out a lot in the office with Safa as well, and guys got pretty close over the summer, right?
Yeah, and we're all just motivating each other and just try to help support each other to work harder and to try our best. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, a good community is very important.
Yeah, which kind of rolls into tip number two.
Yeah, number two, volunteer with your friends.
Or intern.
Or your intern friends. you'll feel more motivated to volunteer if you do it with your friends. Especially during school year, it seems like you barely see your friends outside of school anyway. So you might as well kill two birds with one stone and hang out with your friends while making a positive impact on the world.
It's true.
Yeah, I've had a lot of fun doing volunteer activities with my friends. We got our job done.
That's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
And then, so number three. So now that you're a senior, I'm sure you can definitely attest to this one as well.
Yeah, so remember that every year counts. So there's this myth that goes around, like a lot of my classmates believe this for some reason. They always think that, oh, freshman year doesn't count, or like my senior year won't count because I'm already applying to college. And the truth is that this is a myth. This isn't really true at all. And I would just encourage you to just not slack off. Be sure you work hard in school, participate in extracurricular activities like volunteering, and put in your full effort. And this is a reminder for myself as well. No senioritis. It's just my last year. Just push through it.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, it's also a good way for number four also as well to kind of keep yourself on track and keep yourself motivated and also to, set standards for yourself.
Yeah. I definitely think it's really important to create benchmarks for yourself And I would say, like, make it a goal to volunteer a certain number of hours in a week, month, or semester. And for a lot of people who are starting out volunteering, it's very easy to fall out of the habit of always volunteering every mm-hmm. week without some sort of, like, a marker or motivation. So, like, by giving yourself, like, little milestones to reach, like, in a certain amount of time, in or out of school, you can easily convert these desires into actions. And this way, you can hold yourself accountable and then make full use of all your time during a year.
That's right.
Yeah. I'd say, like, if you set out a big goal, like, oh, I'm going to volunteer 100 hours this year, like, that's very difficult to do, to have mm-hmm. such a lofty goal without, like, small steps to go to it.
Yeah.
So I'd say, like, it's very important to just set small goals. It makes it a lot less intimidating. It makes it just a lot easier to do. And then you'll see that at the end of it, maybe you'll get those 100 hours.
Right. Well, most schools don't require service hours as well every year. So, like, what's the overall, like, what's the usual, like, yearly requirement? Or if it's overall goal?
For school?
Yeah.
Like, volunteering?
Mm-hmm.
Well, for my school, they don't do that.
Okay.
But there's a lot of schools that sometimes do 5 hours, 10 hours, it depends.
Mm-hmm.
We have, like, National Honor Society and CSF in our school. And for my school, CSF is 5 hours. And
right, the National clubs Honor require it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. National Honor Society is 10 hours, which is very easy for Lions Heart members to do.
Exactly. Yeah, but, which also leads to number five as well.
Yeah.
Steps.
So number five is get involved with a variety of activities and choose some to be your main focus. Well, I would say that whatever you're interested in, I'd say just to participate in as many things as possible. Be sure to just experience the widest range of things, and you might discover some new interests.
Yeah, but just be like, also you don't want to overwhelm yourself by joining too many clubs and having to run around, you know, during your lunch or after school or before school, having to go to meetings and stuff. So, you know, kind of pick the ones that you think are a priority, or things that you really, like, enjoy doing. So don't, you know, try and branch out and do too many things at once while also losing sight of what's really important here as you're going to school.
Yeah, I definitely think in the beginning, like, try to explore as much. And mm-hmm. then as time goes on, try to, like, narrow down to, like, specific causes you're super passionate about, specific clubs you've, like, really, like, connect with or connect with all the members with. Like, for example, I sign up for, like, 10, 20 clubs. Right. The end, like, I'm at only, like, 3 or 4. Like, I'm in Key Club, mm-hmm. CSF, NHS. Those are typical ones. And, like, there's this girl up club and then Asian Culture Club.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Some fun ones that are in there.
Yeah, some fun ones are still in there, yeah.
Yeah, so it also kind of leads you to, you know, with the clubs, like, they require you to do service hours, so there's easy ways to get service hours at number six.
Yeah, so seek out school opportunities to volunteer. There's many service clubs on campus.
Mm-hmm.
So, and not just service clubs, but there's also lots of opportunities that your school will actually give out to you. For example, school libraries often need help with organizing or shelving books, or you can also tutor peers struggling in certain subjects or teach English to students whose first language is not English.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, we have many service clubs in my school. We have, like, Key Club, UNICEF, Leo Club,
mm-hmm.
and they all offer many volunteer opportunities for you to try out. So if you can't find any volunteer opportunities, then the service clubs are providing to you.
Yeah.
Or go to school.
Yeah, yeah, your school will have plenty of things for you to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so that also gives us, you know, with school and doing all that type of stuff, you know, being able to manage your time.
Yeah, there is definitely, you'll definitely get overwhelmed. I mean, not everyone will, but if you have a very busy schedule, for example, I do a lot of clubs and I do sports too.
Mm-hmm.
And
volunteer.
Intern. It just feels like you have a limited amount of time. It might mm-hmm. be seem very hard to manage. And I'd say that it's definitely important, though, to manage your time as best as you can. And good time management and prioritizing your tasks allows you to complete more mm-hmm. with less time while retaining good quality of learning, which results in ultimately more free time and less stress.
Mm-hmm.
So with good time management, you create a cycle of positivity that will result in more success. And I say it's very, very important to set aside time for what's important, like homework, reading, studying, and other important school stuff. I always say do your school stuff first,
mm-hmm.
and then the faster you get that done and more efficiently and better you get that done, then you have more time to play at the end.
That's right. But everyone knows, like, it's easy to get sidetracked and procrastinate a lot as well. I mean, that's pretty normal and standard for schools. So, you know, rather that's organizing yourself, if you have to do it physically, like get the calendar, like I know people just do that, like get an organizer, use the school organizer they probably give you, or a binder, or even for myself, like now I just put all reminders on my phone. So that's number 8.
Yeah, exactly. I definitely recommend for you to put reminders on your phone specifically. Since we live in such a digitalized world, everyone's on their phones. I say that a phone reminder is the easiest way for you to remind yourself to get this task done at this specific time.
Right.
And it's important to have like a physical representation of your schedule and your availability so you can easily tell if you're free or too busy to volunteer. And I think it's important to make full use of your time. And but it's also equally as important not to overpack your schedule to the point where you have to miss out on certain activities or volunteer engagements.
Right.
So I have a pretty bad memory. So this, like, phone reminders, like, I don't even need to physically remember myself. It would just pop up my phone and be like, wait, okay, I need to do this now. And it's especially helpful for me to plan out my week for school and volunteering. And if you're not a phone person, you could always keep agenda. Like Dominic said, like, the school has agendas. Mm-hmm. Get some papers. The scratch paper will work too.
Yeah. Just lay it all out for yourself so you know what you got to get done. So you set that little schedule for yourself.
Yeah.
Even I know for myself, I find myself setting reminders on my phone or turning my phone to like certain settings because it helps me to, which is number 9, get some sleep.
Yeah. So going off of what you said, mm-hmm. I think especially phone usage causes us to sleep a lot less.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really want to implore you. I'm sure we all know this, but sleep is food for the brain.
Right.
And sleep is essential for maintaining good emotional, physical, and mental health. For teens, especially, we need about 8 to 10 hours of sleep. I know we don't get that, but
no, yeah.
8 to 10 hours of sleep, guys, each night so we function best. And a lot of people say, oh no, I function best in 5 hours, I function best in 4 hours. No, you're just lying to yourself. And yeah, most of us don't get enough sleep. And there's a study that shows that only 15% of us have reported sleeping 8.5 hours on school nights, which is not good.
Yeah.
And by sleeping not enough, you limit your ability to learn, listen, concentrate, and solve problems. And it also makes you more prone to acne and other skin problems and can cause you to eat too much or eat unhealthy foods like sweets and fried foods. So by sleeping more, you're able to focus and perform better in school and lead a healthier lifestyle with a healthy, functioning brain. So please, please make sleep a priority. You can watch your YouTube tomorrow. You can watch it any other time, but you're not going to get your sleep.
Right. That's it. And then I think number 10, probably the most important one on this list.
Yeah, this is definitely crucial. And it's to make sure to enjoy yourself during the school year. And I know, yes, school can be stressful and scary. And I know that everyone's concentrating on getting good grades to go get into college or like to get this job or whatever. But I say that all that's not going to matter if, like, the journey, you didn't enjoy it while you're having it, right?
Right.
And so my past 3 years in high school have honestly been the best years of my life. And you only live these years of your youth once. So make sure you have fun and make some amazing memories. Go to school dances, participate in dress-up days, try everything you possibly can. And one day you'll look back on these years and realize that it has all been worth it.
That's right.
And remember that giving back is also giving to yourself.
That's right, regards to volunteering. So
yes.
Make sure you get out there and volunteer as well. And also, it's good for you to kind of blow off some steam.
Yeah.
Yeah, get out there, have some fun volunteering.
Cool. So if you want to see more of my tips and insights, it's only just a small, fun teaser off it all.
Mm-hmm.
Check out the Lion's Heart blog for more of my posts. So I think the one specifically just for school in general is already out now.
Yep. And then we'll start the other one next week.
Yeah, and the one that's specifically for us volunteers is out next week. So, cool.
Be sure to check those out.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, Audrey.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, and I'm now joined by Mandy, our other Lion's Heart intern, to talk about her disaster preparedness toolkit, which she put into our member pages. We have a few important things from her that she wanted to share, just so that everyone else has the information as well, to be prepared for any disaster at any time. So, Mandy, take it away.
Hi, so I wrote the Disaster Preparedness Toolkit that's available for all members on your member toolkit page. If you scroll to the very bottom, it's available there. It includes a list of recommended supplies in the case of a disaster that you should have prepared already, as well as emergency responses for a variety of different
emergency situations such as tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, and power outages.
Mm-hmm.
Am I just going to
talk? Oh, yeah. Yeah, so it's like, yeah, so like, so... So the first thing that's important to have is probably assemble an emergency kit, right? Especially here in California, yeah. A lot of things that go wrong. So assemble an emergency kit.
Mm-hmm. And this emergency kit should be stored in a very easily accessible place. And consider even keeping one in your car because you never know when something like a disaster could hit. And also be sure to periodically check your kit and make sure that the food or the water and the medical supplies haven't expired. There's a lot of different things that you should include in your disaster toolkit. The most obvious is water. There's a recommended 3-day supply according to the National Emergency Situation Response, which is measured by 1 gallon per person per day.
Mm-hmm.
You should also have bottled water and water purification systems. A lot of these are typically available online or in a lot of different department stores. And also replenish your non-perishable food supplies, which can include canned foods, juices, which you should probably also get a can opener for, as well as cereals, granola, peanut butter, dried fruits and vegetables, as well as dried meats, and food for younger children and infants if you have a younger sibling or there's a baby living with you.
Yeah, and even like protein bars are pretty good too, really, little protein shakes.
And especially if you have non-perishable foods in your disaster toolkit, always be sure to double check it every once in a while to make sure that it hasn't expired, because even if you're in a disaster situation, it's best not to eat this expired food, which is my recommendation. Your disaster toolkit should also include basic toiletries and sanitary products, which include toothpaste and toothbrushes, soap, hygiene products, including feminine hygiene products, infant and toddler products, especially if you have a young child with you, as well as sanitation products, which include hand sanitizer, antibacterial wipes, rubbing alcohol and cotton swabs, band-aids, those sort of things. Your emergency situation toolkit should also include clothes and comfort products, because even though it's an emergency, you still want to be as comfortable as you can because you never know how long it's going to last. So have at least one change of clothes, such as which includes like pants, shirts, jackets, undergarments, socks, and shoes. And depending on your location, you want to make sure that that your clothes are prepared for a majority of situations. So consider packing layers so that you under your jeans you have leggings, or you have, if it's too hot to wear all of your layers, you can take them off, and then that way you're situated for all these different possible situations, especially if you're on the East Coast where the weather, it's best to layer your clothing, and your most common emergency situation are blizzards. Comfort products also include like rubber bands or hair ties, as well as pillows, blankets, sleeping bags, these things to keep you warm at night. Your toolkit should also include a bunch of different basic tools, which include light sources that can be like matches, candles, torches, or flashlights, or even crayons, which burn for 30 minutes in emergency situations, and whistles or batteries, as well as multi-purpose tools such as Swiss Army knives, multi-tool kits that you can typically find in most stores like Target or Walmart, as well as stores like Home Depot and Lowe's. Your parents should also, if you're not an adult, which most of you guys probably aren't, you should tell your parents about providing proper documentation, such as your social security number documentation, passport and driver's license, as well as medical, financial, educational, legal, and other similar statements. Especially if you live somewhere that typically has floods or blizzards or hurricanes as your major emergency situation, consider laminating these or storing them in a sealed waterproof container, because these documents are very hard to replace and they're very important, especially in these situations. So having them stored digitally or in waterproof containers can prevent them from being damaged.
And also take pictures of your valuables as well,
yeah,
and your belongings, and store them together, whether it's online or digitally or laminated somewhere.
Also consider your medical needs, because in a lot of these emergency situations, there's a lot of unforeseen events. So you need to be able to provide for them with first aid kits, which recommended have small and medium and large gauze dressing, adhesive tape, ACE bandages, safety pins, antiseptic spray, and antibiotic creams, disposable sterile gloves, tweezers and scissors, alcohol-free cleansing wipes, and a small Bic lighter for fire starting. Consider having a sewing kit with antibacterial thread in case of a more serious injury, as well as any medications and prescriptions needed, with at least a 3-day supply, and check periodically to make sure that it isn't expired.
Right.
With your family, you should always establish an emergency communication system, which can be text messages, emails, or walkie-talkies. According to the CDC, which is the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, about 46% of American households still have landline telephone service by the second half of 2016, which, while almost 51% had only cellular service in their home. So consider keeping an old rotary phone for emergencies. In the event of a power outage or emergency, a landline phone is still capable of making calls, especially to 911. They're also more precise in this scenario than cell phones are. 911 operators will have your location information right on their screens when you call from a landline, but they don't always have immediate access to your location if you call from a cell phone.
Right. That's a very important one, because usually in a big disaster, mm-hmm. cell phone towers will be down, you won't have service. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do?
Yeah, so make sure that you have backups for your backups.
Yes.
Also make sure that any walkie-talkies or phones or anything, they have battery and backup charges, because in an emergency situation, you never know what you might come across with. So you want to make sure that you can communicate with your family members or communicate with friends and 911 and other emergency responders for as long as necessary, which, if you only have your cell phone charged at the moment, let's say you have 50%, it's not going to last you 3 days, which is the recommended amount of time you want to have backup storage.
And there's nowhere to charge if all the power's down.
Yeah. Also, be sure to plot out your location of any local shelters on your evacuation map, which you should get a hard printed copy for at least, and keep it in your car or in your house with the rest of your emergency supplies, because oftentimes, as mentioned several times earlier, cell phone towers are going to be down, Wi-Fi is going to be down. It's going to be nearly impossible to get access to maps or any...
No GPS.
Yeah, there's no GPS in those situations. So you want to be sure that you have plotted out all your local shelters on your evacuation map, as well as mapping any evacuation routes, because you never know what's going to happen, and it's better to have backup than to rely on something that can easily go away with one gust of wind.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, you can also sign up for local alerts and warnings via text message, email, or other easily accessible systems of communication. So we have other resources as well that are printed onto our toolkit, and then you want to make sure you have access to those.
So these resources include the Federal Emergency Management Agency. They have a mobile app which is downloadable at FEMA.gov/mobile-app,
mm-hmm.
as well as Disaster Preparedness Link, which is available at ready.gov, and they have emergency responses and suggested emergency supply kits all available on that website, as well as FEMA's How Do Disaster Preparedness Handbooks, which are also available through ready.gov.
So yeah, that's all the stuff, all our resources, and hopefully you guys can take these and start creating your own disaster preparedness kits. Thank you so much, Mandy, for sharing.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for coming. Wonderful. Thank you so much to Audrey and Mandy for sharing those, the toolkit, and also the blog post. Be sure to check those out on our website. You can find the links to that. And for our members, find the toolkits in your member portal. And also a reminder for you guys to log your hours before summer ends. Make sure you guys are focusing on your projects and activities before school starts to support your hour goals.
Check out my newest blog post that we talked about, Back to School Tips on the Lion's Heart blog, and Back to School Tips for Volunteers. The link is www.lionsheartservice.wordpress.com. We will have plenty of blog posts coming out over the next few months, written by our Lion's Heart interns and members, that will inspire you in your service-filled life, from nonprofit highlights to unique service opportunities. If you would like to be featured on our blog, be sure to share your story with us and submit your unique story on the Lion's Heart website.
And for all of our Lion's Heart members, please don't forget to wear a Lion's Heart t-shirt while volunteering and tag us at Lion's Heart Service when posting photos of your volunteer activities on social media.
We would love to share the amazing things you're doing, so please tag us so we can see your posts. Keep up the great work.
Well, that's going to do it for us on this week's episode of Toby Talk, and also for our interns here. This is their last week in the office. Very sad to see you guys go, but school starts, so back to work. Thank you again for listening. We appreciate you following along each week. And until next time, don't forget to always think of others before yourself. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
So your jeans are ripped, their soles needing to be mended. It's not hard to help the less fortunate, even though you're still a kid. And straighten your spine with your lion's heart, you can change people's minds.